What's up, citizens of Apologia? This is King Ginger, and I just wanted to take a moment to encourage you all to sign up for Apologia All Access. When you sign up for Apologia All Access, you're going to get exclusive on-demand content. This means that you and your entire family are going to get to watch every single TV show, every single after show, and every single Apologia Academy, with new content dropping every single week. But most importantly, your contribution helps Apologia Studios create quality, Christ-centered entertainment that reaches millions of people on our YouTube channels and through our podcast with the gospel. So what are you waiting for? Change everything at ApologiaRadio.com.
Non-rockabotus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
Let those who fear you turn to me, that they may know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, that I may not be put to shame. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Apologia Radio. Back in the studio, coming at you with the gospel heard around the world from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Jeff the Ninja. That's Luke the Bear Pearson.
What is up?
Joy the Girl.
Hello.
Zach Attack is here today.
What's up, everyone?
Yeah, Zach Attack. And, of course, we have the wonderful King Ginger on the ones and twos.
Hey, you were talking about what I just did?
What?
What'd you just do?
We just sent our studio number to the Satanist feminist?
Yes. Probably some good explanation behind that, in case anybody hasn't caught up with us.
It's a lot of ist.
Yes. So we had a Satanist. She is the chapter head, I don't know if I said that the right direction, of the Satanic Temple of Arizona. She lives apparently in Tucson. She tagged Apologia Church, I think on Monday morning. And she was encouraging people to donate to Planned Parenthood in my name, in Jeff Durbin's name, and she gave out the church's address.
Is that kind of as a tax write-off for you?
Good question.
It is a good question.
King Ginger, it's a good question. So this Satanist, she's a priestess in the Satanic Temple, and it turns out she's actually a rather well-known Satanic priestess. She attended and was actually on stage at one of the largest, if not the largest, satanic mass, according to some reports, in history in Los Angeles, I guess about a month ago. It was creepy. I gotta say this. I was checking the video that you put together and the clips, and I was playing an image, and my daughter walked up to me, and she caught it right at the clip where, like, she's yelling, "Hail Satan!" And Imogen, like, she just, like, looked at me, and she just dead serious, just sort of, like, shook her body. She's like, oh, she goes, "I think I'm going to go wash my brain with the Bible now, Dad."
Like, nice.
That's what she said.
She's just trolling Christians.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, no, it's amazing. And so we put together the clips that we found. Her name is Michelle Short. She's a Satanist and turns out a humanist, an atheist. Apparently, those worldviews go together quite nicely.
It is the worldview of Satan.
Yes, precisely. So she's an atheist, a humanist, and she is also a Satanist. And yes, that works. There are Satanists who are the kind of Satanists who worship the actual Satan, the way the Bible describes him. They actually worship him. They know who he is, and they worship him. And there are Satanists who are more humanistic, and they follow the like the idea of Satan.
But
the,
does Satan really care?
He does not care. And anyway,
he'll take either one.
Either way, he wins.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
I mean, either way, like he gets you not worshiping God.
He thinks he wins.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant. But yeah,
let's be theologically consistent.
Yeah, here. From Satan's perspective, he's just happy you're not worshiping God.
Yes, and that's right. So we recognize there are a lot of different sects of Satanism, and this one lady in particular claims to not believe in the reality of Satan, like she's deifying him. But it's interesting because it's so convoluted and complicated, complex. They'll say, we don't worship any figure of Satan, but then she says in the same talk online, she says we worship through activism. So we don't worship, we do worship. She says in one talk, she says, like, we totally reject the Christian explanation of who Satan is. And then when she describes Satan and what makes him so appealing to her, she talks about how in the garden he rebelled against God and he's like this ultimate rebel. And so she like loves what the Bible says about him. And so that's why she believes him. But then she doesn't worship the Satan of the Bible. And she doesn't engage in worship. She does engage in worship. She's an atheist and ultimately has no justification for morality. But then she demands that others live in such a way as they have moral foundations. They live by these seven tenets. And so it's just complicated. So what we did was we did a little video clip responding to her. At least not really responding much to her. Just more or less
bringing light to the situation.
Letting everyone know that it happened. And here's a satanic priestess who is telling people to donate to Planned Parenthood in my honor. And we played some clips from her engaging in satanic worship, because that's what it is. Even if you say, I don't worship Satan as a figure, you do engage in satanic worship. You say you do, and you clearly are in your videos. I mean, even one of the videos was like human sacrifice, reenactment, and just crazy stuff. And
it'd be like if we all were wearing shirts with crosses, and we're like, praise Jesus, and then we're like, well, we don't actually worship Jesus. We just are, you know, serving through our activism.
Right. That's right.
Doesn't work.
Strange stuff.
People Isn't it interesting, Jeff, like when you give the analogy of the two chairs with the atheist, how when you point out the foundation that the atheist is standing on, he'll say, oh, nope, I don't believe in that. I'm standing on my foundation. I don't believe in God.
Right.
And then the same thing, the two chairs, two different foundations, you point out the inconsistency and they say, oh, no, I don't believe in God. I just want to appeal to the scriptures account of Satan, though.
Yeah, Satanism is interesting. Modern Satanism is very, very interesting. I mean, like I said, to have someone like her who's a humanist, an atheist who denies any real deity, and yet she worships Satan, and she tells people to live moral lives, and yet she's worshiping the embodiment of evil. It's just really, really interesting. And I just want to say, again, her name is Michelle Short. We have love for you, Michelle. We want you to know Christ. We want you to experience peace. We are not better than you. What separates us from you is the grace of God. Believe me, that is exactly what we believe. We're not better than you. I want to give a warning, though, fair warning, to anybody who goes to look up Michelle Short, spelt with two T's, Short. Spelled with two T's. If you go look her up on YouTube, she has a lot of videos up there, including some videos where she was a part of a controversy where they wanted to deliver as satanic members of the Satanic Temple. They wanted to deliver the opening prayer at a council meeting here in Arizona. So that's up there as well. I just want to warn you, if you look up her videos, don't.
Hide your kids.
Just don't do it.
You know, you can generally tell if it's not a video like in front of a council thing or a news or it's a vlog of some sort. I mean, she's half naked in most of her videos, so just be careful. Don't say I didn't warn you. So, Marcus did a great thing, and that's when he posted the stuff of her video. He put the Covenant Eyes banners over all the lady bits. It was fantastic. Anyway, Marcus sent her a invitation to call to be on the show. She is aware that we are aware of her.
And I just posted that we did it on the Apologia Radio page. So if some of her friends see our page, they can contact her directly.
We'd love to have you on. Go ahead.
So we're going to interrupt the show at any moment. We're expecting her to call.
Any moment, Michelle.
Any moment.
All right. So here we go. Let's get into actually the show today. We're going to run across a couple things. Let's start off with, since we're talking to Michelle, let's go ahead and talk a little bit more about Michelle. This is from a presentation Michelle gave to the HSGP, Satanic Temple, Arizona chapter. This is, I figure we're good to do this. Let's go ahead and talk about a few things she says here. This is the opening she gave at this talk here in Arizona.
Stu DeHaan, he is also the general counsel for TST. He's been helping them on a lot of major lawsuits that we're currently handling. And he's also the speaker. We're both speakers for the Satanic Temple. And our chapter was formed in February. It happened right after the invocation debacle, and we will definitely be getting into that in the presentation. So to start off, who are we and what do we believe in? Well, the Satanic Temple has seven fundamental tenets, and they are all focused on either science, justice, acting with reason. You know, it's very important that our religion is not dogmatic in any way.
What?
I'm sorry. You sound awfully dogmatic about that.
Okay, exactly. So they live by these seven fundamental tenets, and I'll go ahead and read some to you right now. One should strive to act with compassion and empathy towards all creatures in accordance with reason. Okay, so let's think about this, and let's make sure that we're clear about it. Ready? These are the seven fundamental tenets. Ready? Fundamental. They are fundamental to...
Well, they're fundamentalists.
Fundamental. Okay, that's exactly right. One should strive to act with compassion and empathy towards all creatures in accordance with reason. But ready? Not in any kind of dogmatic way. It's sort of keep it loosey-goosey.
And not if they're a fetus.
Right. Keep it loosey-goosey. So now think about that. It's these moments where it's like Bonson used to always say, Van Til would say, give the unbeliever enough rope and let them talk. Right. Let them keep talking and they will eventually hang themselves. So here are our fundamental tenets. You must believe these. Right. They fundamentally hold everything else up. Once you strive to act with compassion and empathy towards all creatures in accordance with reason, the struggle for justice is an ongoing and necessary pursuit. The words, are you catching them? Fundamental. Mm-hmm. Necessary. Ready? Necessary pursuit that should prevail over laws and institutions, but not in any kind of dogmatic way.
Right.
Not like dogma. Ready? One's body is inviolable, subject to one's own will alone. Well. Let's think about that for a moment now. Michelle, do you really believe that? I wonder if Satanists are concerned with consistency. Because we're only a few seconds into this, and honestly, respectfully, you're falling apart. Fundamentals, necessary, these things that you must do for others, and then you say, but not in any kind of dogmatic way, like you reject like dogma. But here's what you say here, that one's body is inviolable, subject to one's own will alone. Okay, let's ask the question, because you're asking people to donate to Planned Parenthood in my honor. How about the human being in the will? That's a biologically speaking, you mentioned here reason and science. So I'd hold you to it. I'd hold you to the reason that you praise and to the science that you praise. If we use logic and consistency and we use science, the question is the body inside the woman, is it her body biologically speaking, or is it a distinct and different body? Is it a human being by nature? The answer is, scientifically speaking, using the laws of logic, absolutely. It is a human being by very nature. From the moment of conception, it has its own biological, distinct DNA. It is not the woman's body. And so do you really believe that? Do you believe that about that body, that it is subject to that one's will alone?
I can tell you exactly what she believes about that because she posted it.
Okay, tell me.
She says, Pastor Jeff and his congregation compare the significance of a blastocyst to that of a viable human child. They give more deference to the rights of a ball of cells, a human that has yet to exist, to that of the woman who carries it.
Well, yet to exist is a complete contradiction. If you love science, then you'll know that at the moment of conception, it is existing, and it is a human being, mm-hmm. biologically speaking. There's really no... The thing is, this is what has to take place with activists like Michelle. She has to understand that when she reasons in this way... When she reasons in the way that she did in that post, she's about 40 years behind. And she's using old and really tired arguments that you really should abandon, Michelle, respectfully. Let's just give another one. The freedom of others should be respected, including the freedom to offend. To willfully and unjustly encroach upon the freedoms of another is to forego your own. Beliefs should conform to our best scientific understanding of the world. We should take care to never to distort. That was complicated there. We should take care never to distort scientific facts to fit our beliefs. Ooh. Believe that? Do you believe that you should never distort scientific facts to fit your beliefs? Because according to science, biological science, when we talk about what's in the womb, that is a unique, distinct human being. Of course, it's small. It's not fully developed yet. It has a unique environment inside the mother. It's dependent upon the mother. But biologically speaking, scientifically speaking, if you prize science, then you would be on our side, Michelle, if you hold to your seven fundamental tenets. Anybody else?
I was going to say, she also says, after what I read that, she says that that's been, what we would hold to has been debunked by science, which is the opposite of the case.
Yeah, but exactly.
We'll always be evolving with any new findings within science, within sociology. So we try to keep it as egalitarian as possible. And as Satanists, we believe it is our duty to be able to stand up to arbitrary authority. So, and also Satan is, these tenets are open to interpretation. A lot of people can apply them to different things, you know, to their own personal life. You know, some people apply it to their dietary restrictions. Some people apply it to feminism, et cetera, et cetera. So
she rejects any arbitrary authority. Well, my question is, as an atheist, as a humanist who believes that your ancestors were fish, how is any authority anything other than arbitrary authority? Couldn't it just be any other way?
No.
Didn't it just evolve that way? And can it change over time? And so I'd say in Michelle's position as a Satanist, all authority is arbitrary authority, because she doesn't have an objective standard outside of her own self or her own community. It's all arbitrary authorities. And so if you reject arbitrary authority, then you reject every kind of authority, Michelle, in your own worldview, because your own worldview is bags of biological stuff in an unpurposed, cosmically indifferent universe, have gotten here through random evolutionary processes, and all we are, it's descendants of highly evolved societies of bacteria. And every construct is ultimately arbitrary in your position. And so this is where you see not only humanism and atheism collapse, but now, amazingly, humanism, secularism, and Satanism collide. It's like if
trifecta.
It's like if secularism and Satanism had a baby. Right? You would have
fundamentally subjectivism.
You would have Michelle Short. All right, guys, be right back, guys. ApologiaRadio.com is where you get us. We're going to be back, talk some more. We're actually going to talk a bit about global warming today. Don't think we've really ever done that.
Climate change.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Correction.
No, global cooling,
you're
guys.
Outdated.
No, is it cooling?
It's just change.
Is it warming? Or is it change?
It's cool inside this building, so.
Well, we're going to find out. Be right back, guys. ApologiaRadio.com. Stay with us.
Hey, Alex, is your marriage hard?
Yeah, Chris, it is. But like climbing a mountain, it's hard going up, but once you're at the top, it's beautiful.
I wish there were a place where people would talk about marriage and the gospel.
Wait, there is! Our podcast, The Rugged Marriage.
I really feel like I should have known that.
Yeah, recording a commercial has a way of bringing on amnesia.
Well, check out The Rugged Marriage on iTunes and Stitcher. Reform your theology, reform your marriage.
And buy your wife some tulips.
This is the Chocolate Knox. If you love that wonderful sensation of chewing glass, this is the show for you.
Cross Politic is a weekly show and podcast that mixes the taboo formula of faith, culture, and politics, proclaiming the lordship of Christ in every corner of our culture.
Hallelujah.
Gabriel Wrench is a deacon from Texas, and he wears overalls.
One time.
Chocolate Knox, a.k.a. Dave Shannon, he's a movie maker from Minnesota.
Action!
I'm Toby Sumter, pastor here in Moscow, Idaho, and I used to live in Alaska. Did you know that?
No.
No.
We've interviewed everyone from Alveda King to Ted Cruz to Steve Dace to Walter Williams, and we invite you to join us here at Cross Politic as we learn to fight laugh, and feast, all to the glory of God. CrossPolitik.com.
Welcome back. Hey, Marcus.
Yeah.
Anyone call?
Nope.
No phone call.
No phone call.
Well, that's too bad. So I put the word out on my Facebook page, which I know she's looking at. Put it on Apologia Radio. You sent her two private messages?
Yeah, I tagged the Satanic Temple and sent a Facebook message to them as well.
No call yet.
Nope.
Well, we hope so. So let's finish up with Michelle here a second and just make sure she has her moment on Apologia Radio. Get a chance to listen to her. So I'll go jump ahead now to a bit further in the discussion. And this is where she begins to talk about satanic worship through activism. And here we go.
We're like, we will be what you call us, and we will stand up to that. So, and in modern day, it's the casual and moralistically stifling of people's rights. You know, before they used to do witch hunts and burning at the stake. Now, you know, they're doing it little by little, you know, taking away reproductive rights and religious and giving religious privilege to a certain group. So it is our duty to worship through activism. That is the key to the Satanic Temple, what differentiates us from other Satanists. And we do this through various campaigns. You know, so we were recently established in 2013, and we've had many successful campaigns. Our co-founder is Lucian Greaves, and the current campaigns we do have involve female reproductive rights, the Baphomet statue that has made its way into the headlines in Oklahoma and Missouri. We have the Gray Faction, which is to combat pseudoscience. And finally, the After School Satan Club.
After School Satan Club.
Oh.
The After School Satan Club. Yeah, very, very interesting. So what's, I guess, important and of note is that Michelle's version of Satanism is interesting. I mean, if you look at her videos, she has reenactments of human sacrifice. It's very dark, very, very, I mean, it's very difficult to watch some of it, to be honest with you. I mean, I think there's an obvious intention of trying to scare you in some of these videos. But the way that they actually engage in worship of Satan is through this kind of activism. You know, one of the interesting things in this talk that I got to hear was how they were sort of dissing the idea that Satan is actually, from their perspective, this like red devil with horns and like really ugly and scary. And they were like, that's not what we're thinking. But if you look at their campaign where they're trying to get the statue up where like the Ten Commandments are near courthouses and everything, the statue itself is like this creepy, like ghoulish, devilish looking, like horns and like the beard, and it's terrifying with these two little children like at its feet, like looking up at it. It's like, whoa.
Goodness.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. So that's Michelle Short. Hey, Marcus, any phone call yet?
No phone call yet.
Okay, no phone call.
They did see our Facebook message,
okay,
though.
Good.
So they have seen it.
Good. Well, let's hope she calls. Well, let's get right into some interesting stuff. A lot of things happened last week. We had a very interesting speech from President Donald Trump. It's also weird to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
President Donald Trump delivered a speech, and actually, it was interesting, the response from both sides, the right and the left. It's been, I think, amazingly supportive, which is really strange. Obviously, from the right, you would think, of course, but there's actually been some good commentary from people who are on the left saying, that was actually a really good speech. But if you watch the State of the Union address, I mean, it's like the whole time the Democrat side of the aisle is like sitting down. They won't stand up. I mean, it was really interesting. I'm sure that happens with every president, but it was next level. Let me just say that. So Bernie Sanders, he gave a quote unquote, according to this video, brilliant response to Trump's speech to Congress. And so I thought we'd play it. You guys ready for it?
I'm ready.
Let's listen to some
free?
Bernie.
Is it free?
It's free. This is free. The camera was free. The electricity was free. It's all free. So he does talk about that, by the way, in this brilliant response to Trump's speech to Congress about how, like, the one thing that was not mentioned was what every other country is doing, and that's free, and like free education, free everything.
Free sunshine.
His interpretation of free is very interesting, mm-hmm. Which actually, good point to spring into this. I was in the car with my kids the other day, and Imogen was like, oh, thanks, sin. Everything has to cost so much money, and like it should. Why can't it just be free? Like she was like, you know, blaming it on the fall, and I was like, I was like, actually, if you think about it, if everything was free, then that means that you could enslave. You're enslaving everybody, because if everything was free, that means that you demand a product or service from somebody, they must give it to you for free, which means that their labor, their creation, the product, everything is
owned.
Free, and it's ultimately owned by you. It means that I could basically procure somebody because I want something. I could say, Joy, I want this product or service, and because there's no capital here, no exchange of money and capital for services, you must give it to me. So now I get to basically commandeer anybody for any work, which means I own their production. And what does it mean when you own the production of another human being? What's one good word to describe that?
Slavery.
Slavery. So if I own the production of another human being, that's called slavery. So when you say it ought to all be free, what you're saying is that you should be able to own the production of any other human being. And so it's not such a bad thing that we actually have capitalism. It's not such a bad thing that we actually have goods and services that are exchanged for money, like actual tangible stuff. So anyway, just something to think about. Bernie Sanders talking about the speech. Here we go.
Perhaps most astoundingly, at a time when the scientific community is virtually unanimous in telling us that climate change is real, that it is caused by human activity, that it is already causing devastating problems in our country and all over the world, I did not hear President Trump say one word, not one word, about the need to combat climate change, the greatest environmental threat facing our planet. Not only did he not mention climate change, he pledged to increase our dependency on fossil fuels. Furthermore,
climate change. Now, so I was thinking when I listen to Bernie, and I do listen to him. Actually, Sage, my almost 18-year-old, and I watched, I think, all of Bernie's little response here. And that's actually, by the way, I think a peculiar thing is that you generally find, like, in a Christian community, Christians will listen to the arguments of the other side.
Right.
Like, I was thinking about that while we were doing this. Like, I'm like, Sage and I listen to this stuff all the time. We listen to the arguments and the speeches of the opposition. Like, we actually take them in and listen to them. And I don't see that as normative from the other side, whether it's another religion, whether it's like atheism or secularism. You know, when I you know, if I engage with atheist friends of mine, I sit down, I will tend to ask them, like, well, what books have you read defending my perspective?
Yeah, exactly.
And generally speaking, when I talk to atheists and agnostics that are opposed to Christianity, they don't have the kind of library I have.
Because they have to pay for those books.
Yeah, the other side.
They're like, not free.
I know that my library, I probably would make a lot of atheists covet my books. And I'm not talking about Christian ones. I'm talking about atheist ones.
Wow.
Why is that? That Christians tend to actually engage the other side. I'm not saying all Christians. I know that there's, you know, people who keep themselves in a little ghetto in a little box and isolate themselves. I understand that. I'm not saying everybody. But, you know, it is my experience that many times Christians will listen to the opposition and they'll listen to what they have to say. They'll read their books. I mean, I do. And so anyway, Bernie Sanders and talking about climate change. What I noticed listening to this is something that I think I might have mentioned before. Have you guys noticed the change of language?
Uh-huh.
Is it as apparent to everybody as it is to us? That within the last couple of years, like, there's a shift from what I grew up with, and that was global warming. And, like, that was the fight, was a global warming, global warming, global warming. Like, you don't believe in global warming? You're an idiot. You're an idiot.
You don't like science.
You don't like science, bro?
When I first entered college, I remember that's what it was called, global warming. We had to write a paper on it at community college. It was, like, the first thing we had to do. We had to watch Al Gore's movie
You watched it?
Oh, yeah. Then we had to write a report on it.
At GCU?
No, this was at Central Arizona College. Apache Junction, Arizona.
Woo!
Apache Junction.
East Side.
East Side?
There really isn't a lot of people.
East there Side isn't. To the West
how about,
Side.
How about you, Joy? Was it global warming for you?
Yeah.
Because you're a little younger.
I think Zach and I are the same age.
Close.
How old?
I'll be 28 this month.
28?
I'm 27.
27.
So.
Oh, you're the youngest one at the table then.
It was global warming when I was growing up.
Okay. All right. Marcus?
When I was in community college, we had to take, I took a world religions class, and the professor required that we do a paper on Romans 1. And so the first 6 weeks of this world religions class, he was essentially trashing all religions and saying that the goal of religion is to unite everybody to stop global warming. So when I did my paper on Romans 1, it was presuppositional, obviously. And I talked about what Romans 1 actually meant, and I failed because I was trying to sneak Christianity into a text about Romans 1. And what he really wanted was, because it says the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen throughout creation, like he wanted that to be he wanted the class to talk about how we should take care of the earth because God is in the earth.
Now, before we get into this, I want you guys to remember what we're talking about now. We're talking about the change of language. We have global warming and then climate change is the major thing now. It's what everyone's talking about. I do want to say that we do have a particular perspective that we ought to take care of the world that God has given to us.
Yeah.
I don't think that we should be abusive to the gifts that God has given to us. I don't think that we should be irresponsible. I think we have to actually be good stewards, wise stewards. And to be honest, we have a really long-term view of the future, which means that I actually think that given that we have this long-term view of the future, we ought to be establishing and building in a way that respects the good creation that is here.
So dig them fossil fuels up.
Yeah. So, but however, the way that people think in terms of like taking care of the earth almost becomes like worship.
Right.
And and it also forgets, like from the unbeliever's perspective, tell me what you guys think. It forgets, negates the sovereignty of God in the whole discussion. Like when secularists worry about the future, they're worried in terms of this is all we've got.
Yeah.
We're the ones who are the sovereigns. We're in control and God's not in this. And so we need to do this because we're going to lose the earth and it's all that we've got in the universe. We only have each other. So that tends to be how they think about it. Now, from a Christian perspective, I think being a wise steward and like having a legacy and like protecting the way that we should have, protecting our future, protecting our kids, like that ought to be a part of how we think.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, now back to Joy. Do you want to have something to say about that?
Anything? Keep going.
Okay. So back to the change of discussion.
Yes.
I remember global warming as the big thing and my own like attempt to try to understand it. And I went to public school. And so I'm part of the same education system. Like I was there. I learned all this stuff, but I noticed very recently, like all of a sudden it was climate change. I'm like, wait, what? What do you mean?
When did that happen?
Whatever do you mean, climate change?
When did that change?
Where'd that come from? By the way, Marcus, any phone call?
No phone call.
Okay, so whatever do you mean, climate change? And then all of a sudden I'm seeing like President Obama using that language. And then I'm seeing like everybody using that language. But I'm like, well, wait a tick. Wasn't it something different just like yesterday? Well, first and foremost, like let's talk about the consequences. This is how serious the consequences are, according to some.
Said the greatest threat to national security was climate change. Do you still believe that?
Absolutely. In fact, climate change is directly related to the growth of terrorism. And if we do not get our act together and listen to what the scientists say, you're going to see
how did that happen?
This is what the CIA says.
What?
Yep. Climate change.
I'd like to see that chart.
Directly.
Directly related to terrorism.
Directly.
There's a graph. One side is terrorism. The other side is climate change. And just
literally everything. Everything is related back to climate change.
Yep. Yep.
Your dog bites the postman.
Climate change. Yep. That's right.
I don't even.
Can't fit into my yoga pants. Climate change. Grass is. Yeah. All right. So let's finish them up there.
They're going to be struggling over limited amounts of water, limited amounts of land to grow their crops, and you're going to see all kinds of international conflict. But of course, international terrorism is a major issue that we have got to address today.
Okay, so
it's a bit of a stretch.
It is. Now, that was Bernie Sanders, Senator Sanders, more recently, Bernie Sanders of late. And this is Bernie Sanders, I think around the year 2012 is when this is. Listen to the language.
I fear that one of the major issues that not only faces our country but faces our planet is not getting the kind of serious debate and discussion that it needs here in the United States Senate. And that is the planetary crisis of global warming.
Okay, that was 2012.
Okay. So between then and now, there's been a change.
Global warming, climate change. Global warming, climate change. And then it's climate change is directly related to terrorism. So it's just, it's okay, it's amazing. And okay, maybe it's not just, or maybe it is just Bernie Sanders, or maybe it is.
I've been talking for decades now about our dependence on foreign oil, our dependence on fossil fuels, the lack of an energy policy, and we haven't done anything about it. And the consequences are dire. We know that global warming is real.
Okay.
Do we, though?
So that would be President Obama.
And when was that?
This one, a date on this bad boy, is 2008. 2008.
When he first got elected.
It's when he is being interviewed about the issues we face concerning global warming. This is when he was just explaining why America needs to be a leader in curbing global warming by decreasing dependence on foreign oil. Now, I actually agree that we should be decreasing our dependence upon foreign oil.
Yes.
Completely agree with that. Hate the wars that have been started because of it. Hate all of the money that we spent doing these sorts of things and all the injustices that we've perpetrated on people because of these things. Of course, I hate all that. But it is interesting, right? It is interesting. How about this? This is a good conversation to have, and I think it sums it all up. This is actually a camera video footage from Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz was being confronted by somebody on this issue, and I think that the conversation is very telling and actually compelling. So here we go.
Especially in the lobster business, which is where you are. And if you don't mind answering my first question, do you agree that you do deny the existence of climate change?
Well, okay, so in the legal business,
it's a yes or no question, quite honestly.
It's not a yes or no question.
I mean, it is or it isn't,
sir,
and it does exist.
I'm happy to answer your question, but I'm not going to engage in a cross-examination.
Okay, so what's your answer?
If you would like my answer, I'll give you my
answer. Okay, I'm listening.
That public policy should follow the science and the data.
Which says climate change exists.
All right, well, but hold on.
And do you agree?
Sir, I told you I'm not going to be cross-examined.
I'm not trying to cross-examine you. I just want a yes or no answer.
This place is ablation 10,000 years.
So,
yeah.
Let's step back
for
a second.
I'm just trying to get an answer here.
Let's step back for a second and look at this with some historical perspective.
Okay.
30, 40 years ago, there were a group of political liberals and scientists who said we were facing global cooling. They said we were headed towards a global ice age.
Okay.
And the solution to global cooling was massive government control of the economy, the energy sector, and every aspect of our lives.
Okay, I'm not into that personally, but
Then, the data disproved it. That was not, in fact, correct that we were seeing global cooling, so that was kind of a problem.
Okay.
So then, many of these same political liberals and many of these same scientists, they then latched onto a new theory. It's called global warming.
Correct.
And the new theory of global warming, interestingly enough, the solution was the exact same as the solution had been for global cooling. It was massive government control of the economy, of the energy sector, and every aspect of our lives. But then the problem became the data and evidence didn't back up global warming. In particular, if you look at the satellite data, listen, I am the son of two scientists and mathematicians.
Yes.
It is the essence of science to look to the evidence.
Yes.
In the last 18 years, there has been no meaningful recorded warming according to the satellite data. So suddenly all these political liberals, the evidence and data didn't back them up. So then the theory changed to a third version. It's just been in the last few years when the theory magically transformed into climate change. And climate change, from the perspective of a political liberal who wants government power, climate change is the perfect pseudoscientific theory. Why is that? because it can never be disproven. Whether it is hotter or colder, whether it is wetter or drier, the climate is always changing. Now, you asked a question, do I believe in climate change? Of course. From the dawn of time, the climate has been changing. Till the end of time, the climate will change.
Okay.
And yet, interestingly enough, the political liberals, their solution to climate change is exactly the same as it was to global cooling and global warming. Okay. Massive government control of the economy, the energy sector, and our lives. And when you start to see politicians that propose the exact same solution to every problem, regardless of the facts or the data, you start to think these are just politicians that want power over our lives. You know what I'm in?
Powerful. I don't care who you are.
Nailed it right
that
there.
Was serrated edge.
I don't care who you are, how you feel about Ted Cruz. That was interesting. Because there's no way around that. That's really what's taking place. And why address it on a Christian show like this? Well, we address it because the policies that get put into place as a result of this climate change idea end up actually destroying production. They end up destroying people's businesses and their lives. And you essentially put people out of work and you create a higher expense for products and services because of these policies.
And then they become terrorists.
Yeah, and then you also make terrorism fill the earth. No. So it's important on that level, because what takes place as a result of these policies is the destruction of industry. And when you destroy industry, you destroy jobs. When you destroy industry, you also create a higher cost of living. And so it affects all of us. And that's why it's important. Also, here's what: truth is important. Truth matters a lot, and we ought to care about it. And so this isn't any way to hurt anyone's feelings or destroy people or, you know, make people feel like they're thrown under the bus in any way. It's to say, of course, yes, we should care about the earth that God has given to us, be good stewards of it, trust God. We should make sure that we are being responsible for what God has given to us. But we should never do that in such a way that ignores God's sovereignty and his providence. And we should never do it in a way that destroys other people's lives, which ends up taking place. And so when we come back, we're going to actually continue this discussion for just another minute or so. We're going to play a clip where Bill Nye and Tucker Carlson actually had a little bit of engagement. So stay with us, guys. Be right back right here on Apologia Radio. Don't forget to go to apologiaradio.com. Listen to all the past episodes. Also sign up for All Access. When you do, you partner with Apologia Church. You make everything possible that we do. And you get the television shows, the after shows, and Apologia Academy, where you get to get trained in the biblical worldview, theology, and apologetics. And you have the wonderful blessing of being a part of all that God is doing through this amazing little church in Tempe, Arizona. Be right back.
Still no phone call.
For 21 years and counting, New St. Andrews College has sought to obey Christ's great commission to disciple nations and build him a house, not just in Jerusalem, but throughout the world. Not with stones and mortar, but with living stones. We build and fight. This is the task of a Christian liberal arts college, to equip students with the tools to build and fight. And this is our joyful task as we seek to graduate leaders who shape culture through wise and victorious living. To learn more, check us out online at nsa.edu/explore.
What's up, guys? Welcome back. Stay with us, guys. Before we finish the show today, I'm going to play you guys a little clip just put out from The Blaze, the representative in Texas who is working to end abortion, to abolish abortion in Texas by criminalizing abortion, calling it murder. He actually is under police protection right now.
All that.
After numerous death threats, both to him and to his family. And so that's interesting. So we'll play a clip for you guys of that. But before we do, let's jump right into this discussion between Tucker Carlson and Bill Nye, the science guy. Bill. Oh, no. Oh, hey, Marcus.
Yes.
Anyone call yet?
No.
Okay. So I'm going to play this. You know, Marcus, you and I were talking about this earlier. I think Tucker could have done a much better job.
Yeah, but
it's fast. You got 7 minutes to go here. It's tough, but it was interesting. So we thought we'd play for you guys. So here we go.
thank you for that, for sending your tax dollars here. It's built a pretty nice place. Well, Bill Nye the Science Guy is now aspiring to a new title, Bill Nye the Psychoanalyst Guy. During a Facebook Live event with Senator Bernie Sanders today, the mechanical engineer and TV personality said, skeptics of global warming suffer from the psychological delusion of cognitive dissonance. It's a slight bump up from last year when he was open to the idea of imprisoning skeptics, global warming, as war criminals. Is that the choice, Bellevue or Nuremberg? Bill Nye joins us now. Bill, it's great to see you. That doesn't sound like science to me, Bill Nye, the science guy. That sounds like something cognitive very dissonance. Different.
So cognitive dissonance is not a delusion. It's a feature. It's human nature. So we in the science community are looking for an explanation why climate change deniers or extreme skeptics do not accept the overwhelming scientific evidence for climate change. And the most reasonable explanation is you have a worldview, and then you have evidence, and the evidence disagrees with your worldview, so you deny the evidence. And then along with that, you deny the authorities that are providing the evidence. Now,
well, that sounds spectacular.
That's interesting.
We've been saying that for a long time. Is he listening to Apologia Radio? Bill, are you listening to Apologia Radio? That's absolutely right. Everybody has a worldview. Everybody has a perspective. And it is true that everybody reasons through evidence according to their worldview. So that's why you have to go deeper than just brute facts, and you have to actually start digging into worldview and perspective. You have to look at people's presuppositions. You have to look at the foundations. That is absolutely correct, which is why we would be challenging Bill Nye, and we'd be asking the question, well, according to your worldview, Bill Nye, how could you be doing the things that you're doing right now, engaging in logic and reason, demanding that human beings do things that are conducive to the benefit of other human beings? Why would you be doing any of that if you believe what you do, and that's that we are African apes, the descendants of highly evolved societies of bacteria, that there is no God, there is no ultimate purpose in the world? How could you be doing what you're doing? And how could you do science, which demands the principle of induction, you must have that in place, if you believe you live in an ungoverned universe, no personal order? That would be a good question to ask Bill Nye, and it'd be good to ask him how come he ignores the obvious evidence of the existence of God, the triune God.
Satanic Temple update?
Yes.
They posted on our radio page and they said, we received your invite. The echo chamber is precisely what we combat. We will get back to you shortly.
The echo chamber?
Yes.
I think that what we're moving away from is the echo chamber.
Right. That's what I said in the post was, we'll see if they want to come out of the echo chamber.
Oh.
And so they said, well, we fight against the echo chamber and we will get back with you shortly.
Ah, oh, okay, good. Okay. All right.
So I expect a phone call. Maybe it might happen.
I was going to say quickly, as far as Bill Nye, interesting how they're making it. We would deny global warming. We wouldn't deny climate change. So it's like they're, you know, well, they deny climate change. No.
Climate changes.
No, we're not.
Several times a year.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Even in a day, it changes.
Yeah, it does. All right, here we go.
You have a better hypothesis for why climate deniers deny the overwhelming scientific evidence. Bring it on.
That's
it's not
a loaded question.
It's just like the fox and the grapes.
Well, it's
you can't reach the grapes, so he says the grapes are no good.
Look, it's, you know, people do come to every debate with preconceptions, and you're right about that, of course. But the essence of science is extreme skepticism. We always ought to be asking ourselves, is my hypothesis true?
I'm a member of both skeptic organizations, Mr. Carlson, and this is climate change denial is denial. The evidence is overwhelming. Don't get me wrong. I love you as a person more than life itself. But the evidence for climate change is overwhelming. So we are looking for an explanation of why you guys are having so much trouble with it.
Oh, wait, so then, before the name calling begins and before you try to end the conversation, let's start it by asking what exactly you mean. Now, I think most people are open to the idea that the climate is changing. It has always changed, by the way, as you know.
It's the rate, cool. Mr. Carlson. It's the rate that's such a concern.
The core question, from what I can tell, is why the change? Is it part of the endless cycle of climate change, or is human activity causing it? That seems to be the debate to me, and it seems an open question, not a settled question, to what degree human activity is causing that. Is that not an open question?
It's not an open question. It's a settled question. Human activity is causing climate change.
To what degree?
To a degree that it's a very serious problem in the next few decades.
Wait, stop. Wait, no, you said it's a settled point, and I'm asking a very precise question.
It's a settled point.
Then if you'll elucidate it for me, I'd be grateful. to what degree is climate change caused by human activities? 100% of climate change is caused by human activity? Is it 74.3%? It's settled science. Please tell us to what degree human activity is responsible.
So the word degree is a word that you chose, but the speed that climate change is happening is caused by humans. Instead of happening on timescales of millions of years, or let's say 15,000 years, it's happening on the timescale of decades and now years. Now, you know, I offered...
Hold on. But to what extent is human activity responsible for speeding that up? I mean, please be
100%.
More precise.
If that's the number you want. Humans are causing it to happen catastrophically fast.
So human beings are 100% responsible for the change of the climate.
A bold claim.
That is a bold claim. And it's according to Bill Nye, the science guy, settled science.
I was wondering if those sirens were the sound of the police arresting the climate deniers.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. I wonder what's going on there. Where is he actually sitting? I think Tucker Carlson's actually sitting outside, looks like, which is interesting. Yeah.
Okay, so at what rate would it have changed without human activity? And annoyed that I'm asking these questions, but they're very basic questions. They're not denial.
So basically, the cycles of climate change, the last ice age we had was tens of thousands of years ago. So bear in mind that in ancient dinosaur days, there was more carbon dioxide. The world was warmer than it is now. There was an inland sea in what is now Wyoming. And I understand you have a member of Congress from Colorado used to be underwater, and you go to Dinosaur National Mall, you can see it.
Sorry. That's what happens when you're using your iPad.
Millions of years ago. The problem is
you
the
just
rate.
Said it was tens of it's thousands.
That was the Ice Age. The rate.
Okay.
The rate is the problem. Now, here's the thing. Half the people in the world live on sea coasts. As we get the ocean a little bit warmer, the ocean's going to expand, and people live on the sea coast
are
going to be displaced.
But you're not answering my question.
About the speed
you're describing what will happen if this
continues.
And I'm asking you a simple question. Hold on. I'm asking you a simple question about the rate of climate change.
So the rate...
You said that it would be happening, but that rate has accelerated because of human activity. And I'm asking you very simply...
The word accelerated is an understatement. Okay? It's happening extraordinarily
fast. I'm asking you a simple question. And because the science is settled, I hope you can answer it in simple terms, which is, without human activity, how long would it have taken for us to reach this level of warmth in our climate?
It's not clear that it would have happened.
So there you go. You guys can go to YouTube and check that out, that clip for you guys. I think it's interesting. It's a good discussion to have, and I think it's a good discussion for Christians to start getting involved in. Just because of the implications, like I said, when you think about what the consequences are of policies that surround the climate change issue, the consequences are it damages families, it damages businesses, it damages the future, it damages our ability to produce. And so it's a good discussion to have, and I think Christians should get into it. So stay with us, guys. One more segment to go. Be right back here on Apologia Radio. Don't forget, guys, apologiaradio.com. Here you go to get the past episodes. Go pick them up. Share them with somebody you love, guys. Be right back. What's up, y'all? This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio at apologiaradio.com. Want to talk to you guys about an amazing connection that we have right now with Whitfield Theological Seminary. I want you to run over to whitfield.edu, whitfield.edu, whitefield.edu. I want you to check out the programs they have. They have undergraduate programs at Whitfield College, and they also have Whitfield Theological Seminary for the graduate degree and above and beyond. I think you'll really be impressed with the rigorous nature of the classes, the consistent biblical worldview taught and adhered to. I want you to contact Whitfield Theological Seminary at whitfield.edu. Get a hold of our friend Dr. Kenneth Talbot and start your classes today. ApologiaRadio.com. All right, we're back. So recently, if you've been catching up with us, keeping up with us, you know that we did a video we put out on Facebook and YouTube updating everybody and informing you on the House bill in Texas that essentially points to the law in Texas that defines human beings. You know, you've got a human being from conception until natural death. And what the law is, essentially does is it points to the law that's on the books and says, look, this is how Texas defines human beings. And so it protects preborn children. And this bill, I mean, there's nothing really special about it, except that it says human beings from conception to natural death. And it removes the clause that was put into Texas law that protects women on the basis of Roe versus Wade, because what essentially has happened is, and you're not going to believe this, but pro-life groups worked to get wording into Texas state law that allows women to get around the fact that they are technically murderers under Texas law if they have an abortion. So if you're following me,
yeah.
Roe versus Wade happens, Supreme Court gives a decree, abortion is legal, our system of government doesn't work that way, courts can't make laws in our nation, but that's what took place. So what pro-life groups did is they worked to get language put into Texas law that would say, yes, 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 Texas law says that it's murder to kill your baby in the womb. However, we don't want a bunch of murderers walking around Texas when the Supreme Court says it's okay. So it's really convoluted and complicated. However, what this representative has done is he's placed a bill in that would say, no, our law says this. We have to uphold that, and you can't murder your children in Texas, no matter what the Supreme Court says. It's actually a very good law. It needs to pass. If you don't know about it, check out our channel. It's HB 948. Make sure you guys get updated on it. Make sure you support the work that's going on there. If you're in Texas, do everything you can to contact your legislators and let them know that you will support them and ask them, plead with them, beg them to put this bill into place because it is just and it is consistent. So anyway, the lawmaker who's responsible for putting that in is right now under police protection, and I'm going to go ahead and play it for you right now. This is the interview from The Blaze.
What does your bill say, and why is it upsetting so many people?
It's upsetting because we're taking the exception out of the penal code for murder, for the act of abortion, which is murder. We're removing that. So essentially, we are trying to save the lives of children in Texas.
So that's obviously making the pro-choice and the feminists and the abortion advocates very upset, because you're saying that what they're doing, if they go and get an abortion, that will not be protected under the penal code, that's no longer going to be an exception.
Correct.
So, you know, whether you're pro-choice, pro-life, what have you, I think the more interesting conversation here is that just the fact that you put that forth through the legislative process, which you have every right to do as an elected representative, now they're coming at you with not just death threats, but credible death threats, so many threats that you actually have to be under police protection. Walk me through that. How did that happen? How did that come about?
So, you know, we author legislation, and I don't author legislation according to how I think the Supreme Court is going to rule on it or how the liberal left thinks about it. I author what I think is right according to constituents, and honestly, protecting life is my job. So we authored the legislation, and social media, telephone calls, in-person, just vile, vulgar threats that eventually turn to actual death threats.
And they're coming after not just you and not just your bill, but your family and your small children. Tell me about that.
Yep. You know, they make threats to whoever they can to try to get you to pull a bill. I'll tell you that it only strengthens my resolve to pass this bill and push this through and go through the process.
Good on you.
Mm-hmm.
Representative awesome. Tony Tenderholt is his name. He's actually a retired Army major.
We're going to stop the killing of unborn children.
A comment that you made actually to The Blaze in the write-up that I read was, to me, very interesting, and it was a great point that you made. You said, because they want to protect murder, they're actually threatening you with murder to protect the murder of unborn children. Now, whether you sit on pro-choice, like I said, it doesn't matter if you're pro-choice, pro-life, it doesn't matter. You don't make death threats against someone with whom you disagree with politically. That has no place in the political discourse. But it's not just pro-life bills. It's anyone that speaks out against their agenda and their narrative, as evidenced at UC Berkeley last week. Now, when you saw that, what was your reaction?
Typical. Honestly, that's the way it's become. It's a sad state in America right now. Fortunately, we live in Texas. Texas isn't quite as bad as some of the other states in the nation. But it just tells you a lot about where we're at and how they deal with things that they don't like. They're not tolerant. They're actually intolerant. And what people don't know is on the Texas floor in the Texas House, the most liberal member that disagrees with a piece of my legislation, we hash it out, we argue, we go in the back room and we hug and we break bread together and we come out and we try to do what's right for Texans together. And it's disappointing that the public, the voters, can't do that as well.
There you go. All right. Way
to go. I like that guy.
I like Tony Tenderholt.
What we've missed, what we needed is...
Very good.
Somebody doesn't care about the death threats.
Yeah. Praise God, man, for that courage.
It only strengthens his resolve.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So get on it, guys. HB 948. It's happening right now in Texas. Do everything you can to support that. Make sure you notify churches in the area what's going on and get together on mission there in Texas and stand on this. This is justice. It's consistent. It's powerful, actually. There's even a thing added to HB 948 that says no matter what the Supreme Court or any federal agency does, no representative of Texas can even appear in court if they try to strike it down because courts don't make laws.
Right.
What Roe versus Wade did and said has no bearing on what happens in Texas, according to the law. And so it's powerful. It's really, really powerful. So get involved. Unfortunately, we couldn't actually head out there to the rally. We had a lot of stuff going on, have a lot of stuff going on, and had our seven-year anniversary on that day.
Church picnic,
seventh birthday for Apologia Churches on that day. So we have a lot going on, praying for everybody in Texas that's working on this bill and fighting for justice for these children. Last words, y'all. Joy, any last words, any commentary?
For the whole episode?
Yeah! You've been uber quiet today.
Uber quiet.
I have been quiet today. I've been thinking a lot, and I don't know. I guess just think about the things you heard today. There's pretty, I don't know. There's lots of, if you don't like what you heard today on our show, there's pretty reasonable explanations for everything we said, or even just trying to, have conversation. Totally welcome in the intellectual marketplace.
Right.
Actually, I do want to share one thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I found on petheos.com, there's a non-religious channel section in there, and I'm guessing this is a blog or show called Unreasonable Faith, Reasonable Thoughts on Religion, Science, and Skepticism. So here it is, guys, the definitive question to ask anti-abortionists to defeat them. If abortion was legal, what should be done with the women who have illegal abortions? So my response to that is that if you are pro-abortion criminalization, then that question does not stump you. And that apparently is the question that will ultimately stump anti-abortionists. So if you are for calling abortion murder, you don't have to worry about the one question that will stump anti-abortionists.
There you go. Very good. That's exactly right. Good, good. All right.
Any calls, Marcus?
No calls.
No calls. Exciting stuff coming up. I want to point you guys to endabortionnow.com. We just did a live video today on it.
You can subscribe to get updates.
Yes.
Yes. All I can say is that since raising all the funds, we have been putting all the infrastructure in, getting everything ready. We have people working full time on getting everything set. We have the website ready to launch. It should be up in really a couple of weeks here. You're going to be able to go there, get answers to questions. You're going to be able to get training, free resources. You're going to get a kit to go to the abortion mill with, tracks. Everything is free, 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 free. You'll be able to get all of this stuff for free.
Not Bernie Sanders free.
Right. No. Like,
when we say free, we mean free.
And we mean free because somebody else paid for it.
Someone else had to pay.
Out of the goodness of their hearts, they did it by donation.
It wasn't stolen.
Charity. Nobody was forced for this free stuff. And it's all a gift of love. A love gift. And
A gift.
So that's what it was, and it's almost ready to go, guys. And so be praying for us. Be praying for everybody that's putting everything together because it is almost done. And we have finally secured a space for the conference. And so May 4th through 6th, You guys be keeping that on your calendar. Get ready to come out to Arizona for the conference. We're actually going to go out to an abortion mill together to train, and we're going to come and together get ready. We're going to go home with a unified mission as churches across the United States. And, of course, we have our new media strategy underway. Pastor Luke's going to spend about a week and a half or 2 weeks building the new set for something very, very special that we're doing to communicate at the highest level in this culture on the issue of abortion. So go to endabortionnow.com and get ready. Sign up for the mailing list, guys. Get ready to get connected with us. So, Zach Attack.
See y'all.
Enjoy the girl.
See ya.
Luke the Bear.
Peace out.
Marcus King Ginger Pittman.
Still no phone calls.
No phone call?
No phone call.
All right, guys. I'm Jeff the Ninja, and we'll catch you next time on Apologia Radio. Hey guys, don't fast forward through this commercial. Important message for you guys. We're meeting at a new location for Apologia Church worship services. I'm Jeff Durbin, pastor at Apologia Church. Join us for worship 4 p.m. on Sundays.
We are a family integrated church. Sorry, do I introduce myself? They don't know who I am.
Yeah, you can say Joy.
I don't.
You
can cut this, so just talk about it.
Yeah.
But what do I do at the church? They're going to be like, that's one of those churches that has a lady pastor.
I want to keep this as a part of the commercial. I want you to leave this. Okay. All right. Luke.
This is Luke the Bear, discipleship pastor at Apologia Church. And the new location we're meeting at, like Jeff said, it's the Tempe Vineyard Church. I think you said it was the Tempe Vineyard Church.
No, I didn't.
You didn't, but that's okay.
You just did.
The address is 1805 East Elliott Road, number 112. Tempe, Arizona, 85284. That is on the southeast corner of McClintock and Elliott. Bring your wives, bring your kids, and bring your husbands too, because we're teaching everybody up in here.
Bring your beards, if you got them. Or no. It's up to you.
I'll have mine.
All right, guys. That's our new commercial. I think it's professional. We'll see you at Apologia Church. Join us for worship.
ApologiaChurch.com.